Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Drive Through HR. This is our 1,204th show, so we're over 1,200 shows in the books, and I think this is going to be an awesome show. Not only because of the guests, but the topic, and it's really, really super timely. And so, you know, without any further ado, I want to thank everyone for listening today, but I want to get right to our guests. So, Alyssa, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great for December, right? All the holiday season and Christmas season, but I'm doing great. And congratulations on your 1,204th show. I am honored to be here.
All right. So, polar vortex and all the holidays and all of that stuff. But we'll blink and it'll be May and everything will be fine. We just got to kind of get there.
Right.
Do us a favor. Do the audience a favor and introduce yourself. Give us your pertinence.
Sure. So, you know, for folks who don't know me, my name is Elissa O'Brien. I have the wonderful opportunity, and I really say that in the most sincere way, of working for SHRM. And previous to my onboarding, close to 18 months ago, I was a senior level HR practitioner. I held various CHRO positions in healthcare and real estate management. I actually started my career. I knew I wanted to go into HR, so I actually have my bachelor's degree in human resource management, and you know, found myself in the banking world, working for a large bank, and now that it's I think it's now known. Between the mergers and acquisitions, it's Bank of America now. But I started off in the banking doing HR, and then really, you know, spring-loaded my whole career and became a volunteer leader for SHRM very early in my career, and have held various volunteer leaders roles. But anyways, I am very grateful to be here at SHRM, and it's a wonderful experience to be head of membership. And really, my role is to set strategy for membership acquisition, engagement, and retention, and overseeing our 575 wonderful chapters out there in the U.S. and our 51 state councils. So we are really, I feel like I have the best job in the world, and I do truly believe that, because I've always been a huge supporter of SHRM and volunteered for them.
You know, it's one of the things I love about SHRM is so many of the senior leaders have kind of came up through the ranks, volunteered, just like yourself. You've worked a desk, and that's the beauty is you're not just, you know, somebody that's just come from membership and that's what you've done all your life. You've worked the desk, so when you're talking to a lot of these people, it's like, well, when I did that, so you can instantly relate with the folks that are members. That's awesome.
Right, and it's really important, and my role really is all about serving the members and supporting our wonderful SHRM volunteer leaders that are out there, really pushing the message for SHRM.
Nice. Well, what's top of mind for you these days? I want to say what's keeping you up at night, and sometimes that kind of seems to connotate something negative, but really it's what's occupying a lot of your brains these days.
Well, I mean, you know, first and foremost is you know, how we serve our members, and that always keeps me up at night, because that is what we do. We are it is so important to make sure that we keep relevant and current for our membership, whether it's, you know, we just, you know, we actually, I think this was a terrific move. We actually just decided to go into, we heard about these ambush elections that NLRB has now made a reality. So basically what that means is that a union can go out there and with a very short period of time have an NLRB election and petition for that election. Now, for someone who's been on the other side of that, I think Sherm has made the right move to, seek litigation on behalf of our members, because we know that this would impact our members, the employees that they serve, and businesses that they serve. So, again, I think, when we talk about those particular issues and making sure that we're relevant and keeping up with the business community and what they are needing for HR professionals, I feel that that always keeps me up at night. And that's why Sherm needs to be the leader and the cutting edge. And the real reason why we decided to go on this journey of creating our own Sherm competency-based certification, because we saw what was going out in the business world, whether it was Ron Charon's Harvard Business article back in July of this year, or it was a Wall Street Journal's article about, let's get rid of HR. We had one guy, saying, we're going to, it's great to celebrate the, getting rid of HR in businesses. So we can't let those types of conversations happen because that truly affects our profession.
Yeah, I think it's, I've read all of those things too, and it's on some level you almost have to feel sorry for the people when they're thinking that thought, because it highlights they've just never really been around great HR. And right. I think that's, if you've ever been around great HR, you'd never have that thought. It would just be
absolutely.
Like, why would you get rid of marketing? Why would you get rid of finance or sales? It highlights that person's just has never been around great HR. You had mentioned some of the things around competency. Let's kind of talk a little bit about the competency. Why competency based certification? Why is that important?
Sure, I think it's let's take a look at what businesses are expecting. Let's take a look at the new expectations of HR. Businesses have new and different expectations of HR. We've seen technology grow. We see competition in the global economy. We're not just talking about U.S. anymore. With technology and distributions from a global perspective, we're really a true global economy. When we have to be concerned about the euro for our businesses, that's a global economy. We are operating so differently than we did 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And we really need to hone in on HR skills that will give us that more of that global perspective. And we need to contribute to the businesses and the business strategies. And we know that there is a calling, and it is a call to action of HR to be more, have more of those leadership competencies and business acumen that they expect from all their senior leaders, whether it's finance, marketing. So, again, we see that. I know from my past experience, how I did HR 10 years ago is completely different on how I did it a year and a half ago. So, again, it is a call of action. I actually equate this little call to action for folks who are on the phone that are old enough to remember the Fast Company article in 1999, Why I Hate HR. That was our call of action, and I say that the Wall Street Journal's of the world, Harvard Business Reviews of the world, And some of the other things that I've been reading is another call to action for us. We really got to get this right.
Right. It's at this point, it's an important pivot for the for all of the members is to think, you know, not just now, but the next, what's the next 10, 15, 20 years of the profession look like? Where are we? Go ahead, finish your thought.
And actually, even if you look at the technology advances, that has made, you know, the transactional part of HR go away. Really, if you know, if you all think about it. So we got to change with those changes.
Right. It's like technology is making our lives better and easier, but it's also, thank goodness, it's taking some of the technical stuff away from us and making that even more efficient. All my friends that went to SHRM Leadership this year all came back. I think every year is great. SHRM Leadership is one of those deals where you go to it and everyone comes back on a high. But this year seemed even better. Like people, when they came back, there seemed to be a real pep in their step. And I think a lot of that had to do with SHRM, you know, the SHRM certification and y'all creating kind of a clear path as to what that looks like 2015 and beyond. Take the audience into that, because those that didn't go to SHRM Leadership.
Sure. Right,
take us
exactly.
into what that looks like for the next couple of years.
Well, you know, the SHRM Leadership is my baby, and it's something that I am extremely proud of the team for putting this great program together. One of my musts at that was that I wanted every single volunteer leader to have the opportunity, the first opportunity, to be one of our first folks who were certified. And Joyce Chastain, director of HR Florida, was the first volunteer leader to be certified at the event. It was very, very important for me, a couple of things. The volunteer experience was very, very important to me at the BLS. This is basically where we bring our top leaders of our chapters and state councils together and have a summit, if you will. In order for SHRM and the chapters to be aligned, we need to give them the tools in order to be aligned with SHRM. So, again, that was a little bit of a change. We also invited the state certification directors because we know that this will be a lot of our focus for the chapters and for SHRM over the next 3 years. So, again, we wanted to make this experience very fruitful, to celebrate the wonderful accomplishments that our volunteer leaders do for us on a daily basis. These are extensions of SHRM, and they represent us so, so well out in places that we probably wouldn't be able to touch. They serve a very important stakeholder. In chapter members and also at large members of SHRM, people who may not be affiliated with the chapter, they are touched by the state councils and the direction of the state leaders. So we wanted to make sure at the BLS that they had every opportunity to be the first folks to certify. And let me tell you something, we had over 490 people Saturday afternoon as we ended the session stand up and really proudly celebrate their accomplishments and going through the pathway. So we are so, so excited. Not only am I excited about that, but we have 100% of our state councils signed up as preferred providers. What that means is that any of their programs that they do will be certified for professional development credits under the new SHRM certification. Not only do we have 100% of our state councils, we have about 90% of our chapters signed on to be a preferred provider. We did this in less than 6 weeks. So it is an incredible feat, and we're really very, very proud. So they'll be offering programs that would be able to be recertified under the new SHRM certification.
and this is the certification pathway that we're talking about for 15. We're moving folks over. Obviously, if they've never taken any certification to us, that's a little bit different. But let's say those are going to probably exchange a lot of their credentials from HRCI. There, you're going to see a lot of movement from 15 and 16. I'm assuming from folks that want to either be doubly credentialed, you know, and have dual credentials, or if they want to move their credentials over. When does that first? This applies to me, Alyssa. So now I'm making the show about me now. No, I'm just kidding. I recertified my SPHR, and so this applies to me. This absolutely applies to me.
Yeah,
I
just want to clear one thing up. It's not moving over a credential. I just want to make sure we're giving a pathway for folks to add to their current credential. So it's not a move over. It's just a pathway, and I just want to make sure that was clear to the viewers.
Yeah, that's a really important point, right? So so really, you're getting new credentials, and okay, that's good.
Adding to.
So for folks like me, when does that first impact us, so to speak?
Okay, so starting in January, and sometime in January, February, whenever you want to go through the pathway, you have up until, how about if I say this, you have up until December 31st, 2015 to take the pathway. Now, obviously, we hope that people don't wait the last minute, but again, you know, people can do it at their leisure in the comfort of their homes or offices, or maybe if they're on vacation. But you go through a tutorial. It probably will take, now, it took me about 25 minutes to go through. I'm a really quick reader. Anyways, and so part of this whole tutorial is really about educating people. There's 9 competencies. One of those 9 is about HR expertise, so that's the HR knowledge. What we do in our pathway, because we are acknowledging people who are going through the pathway, that they have already earned their generalist credentials. So back in 1994, I certified for PHR, and then 1996, I certified under SPHR. So I took the pathway. SHRM gave me credit because I proved that I had the HR expertise, plus adding that I've been in the field for over 25 years. I'm grateful that they have recognized that I did take the test. I was tested on my knowledge, and they're giving you credit for that. What the tutorial does is take you to the pathway of HR competencies. It explains what a competency truly is, and it goes into detail about the 8 behavioral competencies. At the end of each of those 8 behavioral competencies, where you get a detailed description of what that competency really is, you'll be asked a set of questions. Do you involve all stakeholders when you are putting together a total compensation and rewards program? Do you often present business cases to the board of directors? So we'll ask you things, and you just check. Yep, I do that. Yes, I do that. Do you effectively negotiate typically when you're, you know, doing XYZ? Yes, I actually do that. So you are basically doing a self-assessment of where you sit on that particular competency. At the end of doing that in all 8 behavioral competencies, you will be then given a chart. That chart will list the 8 competencies. Again, not the 9th one is the knowledge, the 8 behavioral competencies. And it's uncharted early, mid, senior, and executive. And you will have a picture of where you are falling in each of those 8 competencies. And what I love about this profile is now I know what I need to do over the next 3 years for my professional development. Again, what I love about SHRM certification, and I believe it's the differentiator, is that it's really focused on you as an individual. So I know I deal a lot with communication to higher level folks, maybe to the board of directors, to our leadership team. So I really want to be heavily on the executive level. So I know what I need to do in order to get to that, to be fully compliant in that particular area of the competencies. So that's step one of the competencies. And then through the tutorial, the step two through the tutorial is to give you a little bit of an example of what sitting for a test, the exam would be situational judgment testing. So you're given three scenarios, each having three questions attached to each of those three scenarios, and you are answering those questions. If you get the question wrong, you'll be asked to take a look at it again. And then you get the reasons why the question, what the answer was maybe the second best answer, and the first best answer was this and why. So it takes you through the whole situational judgment testing. It is a fabulous, fabulous pathway tutorial. So that's what that pathway really is about. It's about you getting understanding of the eight behavioral competencies, doing more of a deeper dive, and then also finding out, over the next 3 years, maybe I need to focus on global and cultural awareness.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is the first time I've had this type of depth around it. I haven't heard anything I don't like.
so
I'm kind of giddy about
it. I took it. I hope I didn't bore you.
No, I love it, actually. I'm giddy about taking it. Two things. Competency models, I've always thought of those as kind of living and breathing and never being kind of static, and I want to get your take on that. And secondly, how do you think that the competency model, if we were looking back 5 years, 7 years from now, how will it impact kind of like conferences and content and things that we see kind of out in the ecosystem?
Absolutely. Great, great question, by the way. In fact, I had the opportunity to meet with our PD department. So our SHRM seminars and our conferences, you will see, for instance, I'm looking at something that says one of our seminars that we deliver is Developing Effective Coaching Skills, HR Competencies, Relationship Management, Communications, HR Expertise, HR Knowledge. So I know by going to this particular session, those are the outcomes. That's what's going to. That's the competencies that they focus on. If I took this particular seminar, another example is business acumen, integrating HR across operations. I'm going to have the competency of business acumen, critical evaluation, and again the HR expertise. So you will see a lot of our seminars and our conferences identifying what are the key components from the nine competency. So it opens up, and we have also opened up opportunities outside of SHRM and HR offerings. So, for instance, I am one of the people who is a big Six Sigma person. I actually had to go through lean management training in one of my previous positions. So those are opportunities. Toastmasters. I know a lot of people go to Toastmasters. Those are going to be additional opportunities that people will have in order to recertify under the new SHRM certification that was not available maybe in the legacy certification. Again, this is a broader opportunity for your professional development. And I also believe, and again, being in HR, I know I could have, I actually sold the lean management program that I attended. I got more of a buy-in for me to go to that than maybe something that was strictly about HR. So again,
yeah, I can,
we're expanding those broader opportunities.
Yeah, it's what I love about this is I can see tracks at conferences that are dedicated to, you know, if you know what you need to learn, and that's what the competency model will tell you is, hey, if, you know, you're good here, you're weak here, go work on that, you know, round out your strengths, etc. I can see conferences in particular really taking advantage of this and laying out tracks where people just come in and work on the things that, you know, that they need to work on. And it becomes kind of a personal, you know, experience, like I can just go and work on the things that really help me. And at the same time, you know, what is recertification? I mean, I know it's very early on and we probably might not know what it looks like yet because it, you know, it's a farther out, but what does recertification look like?
Ritu, and first of all, I want to also highlight our relationships with the chapters, and we are empowering them, you know, as preferred providers. They will be providing a lot of programming around the HR competency model because they are a preferred provider. So we are also empowering those chapters to make decisions on what will be presented at those chapters for recertification process. So we are going through this as a more of a trust and then verify, so to speak. So they're going to be able to immediately. So if they have a program coming up on, say, the global customer, well, we know that that does fit in with one of the HR competencies. Well, they are going to be able to say, you know what, we're putting this in. Here's the overview. These are the competencies that it's going to be touching on. They're mapping it out to the competency model, and then they're officially assigning it PD credit. So if it's an hour-long session, they have the autonomy to say, okay, this is an hour-long session, so we're going to be giving this an hour PD. So that is the relationship that we have with our chapters, and we're empowering them to really truly be the administrators of this preferred provider program.
Nice.
So to get back to your other question, yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, we've got about a minute 30 left, so I knew it would fly by. I didn't know it would fly by this fast.
Well, you're giving me the microphone to a New Englander who likes to talk, so anyways.
Really, really quickly, let's do this. Where should people focus and pay attention to on the SHRM, either website or webcasts or Twitter chats or whatever, like the general folks that are out there that listen to the show, what should they be paying attention to? What should be their pulse on the a finger on the pulse for all things certification and competency model related?
All right, I will just tell you, have them go visit the SHRMcertification.org website, SHRMcertification.org. There is a link on the SHRM.org website, but I would say for the latest and greatest news, I would encourage everyone who is listening to download the body of competency and knowledge, or what we like to refer to as the BOC. That is the framework for which this exam was created. And I think when people take a look at it, they will be amazed. Oh, my God, this is what I deal with on a day-to-day basis. My God, this is real. This is exactly what businesses are demanding, and this is what I have to do. This is a reality of what businesses are in today's world. So I would ask everyone to do that.
That's perfect. And we're out of time. First of all, thank you, Alyssa. Thank you to everyone at SHRM. We're going to roll out to a little music. And thanks again for everyone for listening for Drive Through HR today. Thanks, Alyssa.
Thank you.